Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an game.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's exactly like Blue's Clues.
Only it is more black. It's also more gay.
And I believe it is more ladylike.
You right, girl. It is. It is more ladylike. Mm-hmm. It is. You got it. It's coming at you.
It's the truth.
It is the truth. Dropping the tea. Dropping the truth bombs. Duck and cover.
Y'all better run.
Y'all better duck and cover, motherfuckers. This week on Minority Corner.
What are you talking about, James? What is happening?
Aside from so many things, aside from getting my shit together,
yeah.
And aside from understanding what's happening now that we're back after that 1 week hiatus, and aside from dropping as many F-bombs as I can.
Right off the bat.
And okay, I'm going to just tell the audience a little bit of something about yourself that you told me in private.
Okay, what is this?
Aneka's feeling a little tired.
I'm tired as hell, y'all. That wasn't in private. That was in public to you because I knew you were going to bring it up. But aside from me being tired.
As they say, what's set in the dark gets brought to light. So
who
just
says
be careful.
That?
Fancy, important black women on soap
joking.
Operas.
Okay.
I've heard it on one of them shows. Mary Jane.
One of your stories?
One of my stories I like to watch. And I also am feeling tired, stressed, anxiety, crazed, whatever. And I think a lot of people are too.
Yeah.
And so I've got a little challenge for you.
Ooh.
It is called the Reading Deprivation Challenge. I'm going to walk you all through it. Sounds really crazy. But it is going to declutter, degunk, and defunkify your mind.
Ooh,
so
I am
come with me.
That.
I might have to sell you on it because you are a Liberian, all-American woman. I get it, but I'm going to sell you to it. I'm going to help you.
I think I'm already sold, but I'll pretend.
Oh, okay.
I'll pretend to be a cautious buyer.
Yeah.
What
Make
is
me
this?
Work a little bit for it. Yeah.
What
okay, now
this?
I gotta sell it on her. I gotta put all the bells and whistles.
Suspicious.
Okay, here we go, James. Don't fuck it up. All right, my lady love, black siren of the night.
Ooh.
What do you got going for us in your fancy booby bonanza corner?
Which is what you put down in the show notes, but it is not a booby bonanza. I mean, I guess anything's a booby. You know what? Everything is a booby bonanza in my life. But since you brought up me being a black siren
lady of the night.
Lady of the night. I am about to talk about some fucking amazing black lady mathematicians. And I'm going to talk about why I came to the decision to talk about that in my corner.
Ooh.
Which will be another total aspect of the corner too, so it is multi-layered.
Okay. It's throwing layers at us, and I can already predict this is next year's Oscar winner because Aneka has a tendency to lay down the tracks, put it out into the universe. She secrets it. She's like, we need a movie about this.
Yep.
She lays down the research, and then next thing you know, Oscars.
It's because I have the site. I have the grown-up version of That's a Raven. All black women have it. That's why we secretly say that black women magic, black girl magic, is because we're secretly. Miss Cleo was telling the truth.
She was, you know, the godmother to us all. Funny you should mention Raven because she's in this week's Quizlet Corner, so
Ooh.
I got it all coming at you. Yeah.
See,
right.
I told you I knew.
See, you did. Damn, you got that sight. Well, what do you see coming up next?
More Minority Corner.
Damn, she's good.
James, we are back.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two. Step two.
Step two. Step two.
Step two.
Step two.
Step
two. Step
two.
Step
Listen
two.
To. Podcast. Okay.
You know what? Okay. We were gone for a week. I'm sorry, guys, but our asses were tired. But
sorry.
We are back.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. We were tired.
Okay.
One of us went crazy, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the episode. And that was me. I know it sounded like it was
direct. I was confused. I was like 50% of us.
It sounded like it was
one out of two chance. It could have been me. I don't remember.
You're like, oh, it's been a long week.
I know.
That was totally me. And it feeds into like my corner later.
Okay,
but
good.
I do want to say, I would like to, we weren't able to thank everybody, but thank you
to
everybody.
God. Seriously, seeing all the Twitter, seeing all the support on Facebook, seeing all the support on the Corner Kids.
Thank you so much for what we're talking about is the Max Fun Drive.
Yes. Thank you, James. Yes.
They're like, what support?
I'm telling you, I'm tired, y'all.
She is. I got you, girl. You and I are in this together. We are the Wonder Twins of podcasting, just more black and gay and ladylike.
That is a good new tagline.
Oh, wow. If we ever needed to segue out Blue's Clues, I'm actually kind of interested. Maybe for season three, we might.
I think, well, are we still on season two? Our seasons got jumbled.
It got lost. It got really lost and confusing. We'll put a pin in that. Listeners.
I like that.
Wonder Kids, the Wonder Kids of podcasting, only more black, gay, and ladylike. Because it really
does
fit.
Kids or twins? What did you say?
Oh, the Wonder Twins. But it could be kids.
I like Wonder Twins.
Okay. We're the Wonder Twins of podcasting, only more black, gay, and ladylike. That's kind
of
amazing.
People can like draw us in like cute little superhero outfits.
I'm kind of into it. We might. James, you guys,
I think I'm really into this.
Yeah, because we were workshop, and I feel like maybe people, I mean, they might know Wonder Twins just as much as they know Blue's Clues, but whatever. We're getting a little like, shush. We're
I just feel like Wonder Twins makes a little bit more sense now than Blue's Clues because we are starting to age ourselves with that one.
True. And it makes us more magical. And I feel like we kind of are doing superhero work.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to be humble about it.
Well,
but
and the
sure.
Wonder Twins really, I mean, well, I think we're on the same level as the Wonder Twins in terms of our superhero work. Because Oprah is Superman. Like, Oprah is Superman. You know, she's out there flying around doing all that great stuff. We are definitely, like, a few tiers down.
Yeah, we're like
up.
The cute cousins just kind of hanging out.
Still doing our thing, hanging out, making our powers activate. Helping
we don't
got to
save the whole world. We just got to educate a couple people.
Just a couple people. We'll take care of this little kiddie pool over here, Superman, Oprah. You go handle that.
We are like here to be like, y'all, did you see that?
Yeah, we are here for encouragement. We are here to like get some kittens out of a tree and do what we can. Keep the peace. Because sometimes, you know what? Like all that debris is flying around. Someone's got to be the one to like, you know, hey.
Tell people to go inside. Close their windows.
Yeah. And we'll like the Wonder Twins would form things. So we're like, form the stop sign.
I like, you know what? I am actually really into the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
I'm kind of into it too. We can get t-shirts. Like we just goldmine that alone.
And since we're doing twins, I'm going to age myself down to your age.
So, fine with me. That's fine with me. Okay. Good. Okay. Wow. We feel some feelings about our age right now. Is that
just, you know, okay. I'm edging into mid-30s. I mean, I guess technically
I am in
my mid-30s now, so I would like to just edge on back to early 30s.
Join me, early 30s. We're hanging out, having a good time, making some discoveries. You know, it's a good time.
Right.
It's a good time. Oh, I wanted to tell you something. I wanted to show you something. Can you see this?
I can see your arm.
This? Do you see
I just see your arm.
No,
through Skype,
like,
everybody.
Don't you see that?
No.
Do you not
it
see
looks
this
like a muscle.
Line here? This line?
It's blurry because internet connection.
Well, anyways, what I was trying to show you is I got a farmer's...
Your muscle?
No. For those of you who are not on this video chat, I was trying to show Aneke... Oh. You never know. CIA, you're in it, so you can see
us. Yeah, that's true. They're like, we see you.
I see it. They're like, it's a farmer's tan, Aneke. He's trying to show you his farmer's tan.
Why you got a farmer's tan?
Because I was down in Virginia.
I was about to ask how your southern travels were.
I went down into the south. I thought I went to D.C., but my cousin, I took the bus. I had to get out of the city. The key to living in New York is you have to get out at least every season. I'm going to make it a goal at least once every 2 months just because it's a lot of city. It's a lot of energy.
It's a lot of city.
It's a lot of people. And so I went down to go visit my cousin who he works for the government. We'll just say that.
Okay. Ambiguous.
I have to keep it ambiguous because, like, if I was on 24, I might get kidnapped and tortured because of the people he knows and the connections he has, you know?
Oh,
so I'm not trying to give it away. Just know it's connected. But anyways, I went down to the south and man, the sun was out.
Ooh,
it was shiny.
Nice. Okay.
My shirt stayed on for some reason. Because you know what? I was just like, it can't be that hot. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh my God, farmer's tan.
Well, you just were being inducted into the South properly.
And you know what? Folks in the South are hella nice. I'll say this.
Well, the non-racist ones. I mean, people are racist everywhere. So that's
exactly.
Me being
and
rude.
You know, and you know what? I had to say this too because, like, we went for a bike ride through the forest, as you do. Mm-hmm. in Alexandria, Virginia.
Which is, sounds so luxurious.
And everything looked like it was like The Walking. It was kind of freaky because at one point it felt like I was in The Walking Dead.
Not luxurious.
No. And I was like, why don't they ride more bikes in The Walking Dead? Anyways. But we were like parking our car and like old white ladies would just like, I was like, uh-oh, this old white lady, she's going to be scared of me. And she would just wave at me nicely. And not like I'm waving at you because I'm scared, but just because like, hey, you're
like,
a person.
Like, oh, hey, y'all. Yeah. Oh, just, Southern. That's that Southern hospitality, apparently.
I guess so. And I'm sure in different parts of the South, it's different. But I do think it's like one of those things that they say, you know, you need to travel and you'll be less fearful. And I think those of us who live in these cities and like on the coast, we need to maybe, well, I want you to be safe. But
yeah, I was like, okay, with caution, maybe.
Go in groups.
Yeah.
Pick specific
spots. If you know somebody that lives
places,
somewhere, yes, use them.
But we should, I think, go outside because just like, you know, only 25% of Americans have passports and they're so fearful it's so small.
What? Oh my God.
And so we're so fearful of like the rest of the world and we have just really warped perceptions of like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And they say the more that you travel, the less fear that you'll have about things. It's like, you know, the fear of the unknown. So it's like I went down to the South and it kind of helped me sort of change perspectives of things a little bit. So
it's true. I think I definitely agree with that recommendation is being able to travel. I personally feel like me traveling to places has been enlightening, both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it equalizes everybody a little bit where you realize in some of the liberal places are kind of more biased than you would think they are. And then you go to some red state areas and you realize, oh, they're a little bit more open than I expected them to be. Or you go somewhere that's kind of scary and it is scary. So I think that leaving your comfort zone in a safe way.
Yes.
I'm speaking to all my women and POCs out there. You guys got to
be. LGBT folks,
yeah,
too.
And yeah. LGBT folks, you guys, we all, that's why there's those traveling books. There's the pink book, there's the green book for black people for knowing where to go that's safe.
Well, I didn't know about these books. I need a book. I need them books. Give me them books. Oh,
I
remember
still,
those books.
I agree with you where it's like, you're never going to know unless you try it out.
Yeah, I feel like that was the theme song. Never mind, not going to date myself.
Uh-oh. Oh, here we go.
That was the theme song to Allegra's Window on Nick Jr. You never know unless you try. Allegra's Window.
You know what? Whenever you bring up something like a Blue's Clues or an Allegra Window, it's always me being a little too old.
I know, but you kind of know
like,
what I'm talking
like
about.
I was 2 years a little too old for that. I remember it. I kind of watched it. And then I was like, I'm a little too old.
Yeah, I understand. It's okay. Well, old lady, shall we get a- Well, I don't want you to fall asleep because you bedtime's around the corner.
What if I was about to mimic snoring, but I can't do that right now. It just probably sound like snot. So,
well, try it. Let's see.
What?
Who is this graceful princess of a snower? Oh. No one's stealing your jewels this evening. This is wee, 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 wee. I don't think anybody actually sleeps and snores that way. But you did make me nostalgic for some Looney Tunes. Like, damn, doesn't
right?
that sound
that,
good
wasn't
right
that,
now?
That was a good Looney Tunes snore.
Maybe one day, I think in one of our episodes, we should do like a script reading of an old Looney Tunes script.
I'm afraid.
Why? We won't have the racist one. We
probably would not hold up.
But we could just do like, you know, an old like rate, like, you know, what do they call those radio plays? Radio plays? Is that what they call them?
Things that don't hold up.
Well, just a suggestion. I think you and I should.
So. Actually, I think it would be good if it didn't hold up or it did hold up.
And I would actually like to post this to the Corner Kids. We're looking for like little scenes or scripts from like old TV shows or old cartoons.
What? We have not discussed this.
We're just
always do this to me.
Because, you know, the kids, it's a community and we just discovered together. Aneka, you're right in the mix of it. I can't treat you any differently.
You sound so businesslike whenever you do this. Like, we had a big old meeting and talked about this and
Wait,
wrote a chart.
For ages. Like, we were back and forth on the details
yes.
logistics.
When no, you're just like... Hey,
okay.
Corner Kids, we've been kicking this around the block a couple of times. We decided to reach out to you.
Just a suggestion, just an idea. Maybe down the line we'll do like a, you know, little script reading of some scenes, maybe some old episodes of, I don't know, Dallas or...
Sure. You know what? That Moesha. Sounds fun.
That would be fun.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Right? So that'd be fun. So we'll have to find... That'll be good. Maybe we'll do that as, you know...
Who do you want us to reenact?
Yeah. Which shows, maybe specific episodes, we'll get the... If you can do the research and get the scripts for us, all the more appreciated.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Takes a village. You'll get at least two shout-outs in that episode.
Researching is a lot, y'all.
It's a lot, yeah. So
take it from this librarian.
Well, in the meantime, let's talk about some anxiety and let's defunk your mind.
I love that. That sounds like an album cover of Arrested Development. Remember them?
I thought you were talking about the TV show, and I was like,
No. Everyday People.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their album is called Defunk Your Mind.
Copyright. I hope it's not, okay. You know, trademarked.
I am in James's corner right now.
What does it look like? What does it smell like? What do you feel?
It smells like lavender. I'm feeling relaxed.
Are you feeling any anxiety at all? It's okay if you are.
Well, now that I'm here with you, I feel like my nerves are calm.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to talk about anxiety.
Okay.
Because it's something that has been reoccurring I think it's always been a part of my life, but it's coming up in a lot of different flashes. And, you know, Aneke's been very helpful to me. So I had just to be a little keen. I like sharing this because I'm realizing how common some of this stuff is. I had another panic attack. This time I was on set. Oh, well, you were there for
no.
it.
No.
Sorry. Are you feigning surprise because you were like, what? I didn't know. You were there for it.
No, I thought it was a different one know about. It's been a minute since
it's true. It has been a while. So this is about like my second and a half. I had a mini one before that one. Mm. But like the last 3 weeks. And, you know, as we have talked, you know, I've had, you know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I had a very intense incident where my roommate died involving the police. And I literally thought I was going to die. And I think these panic attacks have just like, there's always been like this undercurrent of anxiety that I've lived within. And it's just now just a volcano erupting because of the trauma that I experienced from the past. And anything that you don't, you know, deal with. If it goes unchecked, it will find its way to come out.
It festers.
And so, first of all, I want to, in front of everybody, I want to say thank you to Aneke.
Aw, James, you don't have to do this.
Well, I'm going to. Come on. And just take it. Just take it. Otherwise, I'll feel anxious.
Okay.
But, like, it's also, so I just want to shout out, like, you know who those people are that you can go to when you're feeling these moments of, you know, panic and anxiety, that we don't have to do this, you know, alone. And there's some tools that I'll get to a little bit later. But I was, like, kind of like, oh, my God, I can't be an actor. I've had it, you know, once had an audition and now on set. And I've been doing this shit for, like, this is my
years.
For years. Since I was 4 years
old. Since you
old.
Were a child baby.
I was a child star in the community college theater world.
Solano
County Community College. I was a munchkin in the wind.
Your star was motherfucking born right there.
At that moment, a star was born and then moved on to Night on Time, as we all know how that story goes. I was Beyonce Knowles at a very young age. But I, you know,
you were? A friend of, I forgot remember? About Nine on Time. Thank you for clue. I was like, I'm going to let that just happen.
It's like she doesn't remember.
And then now I remember Nine on Time, which is the best thing ever in my life. One of the best discoveries through this podcast. But anyways, we're sidetracking
but
right
did
now.
Did you know that the beautiful, wonderful, talented Kate Blanchett, sometimes every time she gets a part, I'm putting her dirty laundry on blast. Every time she gets a part, she wakes up in the middle of the night thinking she can't do it. And she's stressed. She's like, oh my God, I can't do it. And she's like full
Kate
on
Blanchett
panic
feels that
attack
way?
Every time she gets a part. And then her husband is like, you're going to be fine. You can do this.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it happens to all of us, even if it's in your profession. Like, it just happens to all of us, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? I want to really point out the fact that Kate Blanchett, who literally is the only white woman that can portray me in a movie, and I'd be okay with it.
Okay.
If you're, like, she's that good.
She is. You
she's
know what?
Good.
I think she would do you really well. Like, I, like,
I think so too. She would just get my nuances correct.
She really would. I just want to, I now just imagine you her know? Right behind you studying you, but it's not
yeah,
creepy.
She is.
I'm not creeped out by it. You're not creeped out by it because you're just like, this is Kate
Blanchett. It's her work. It's,
yeah, Kate Blanchett is going to work to tell my story, and this story has got to be told.
She borrowed a couple of my sweaters.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And you know what? They weren't stretched out because you guys were just like, you're like, she was meant to play this role of you.
She literally is patting herself in the areas that need to be padded for me. But, but like, seriously though, the fact that such a highly regarded actress feels that way is honestly, to me, who deals with anxiety too,
yes.
comforting. You know, to know that it's just something people deal with.
And there is, I was going to share this a little bit later, but a tool that I've been using that's been very helpful is there's a podcast called The Anxiety Podcast by Tim J.P. Collins. He's this British guy, and he'll describe his panic attacks, and you're just like, oh my God, this guy gets it. Because I think sometimes we can feel very isolated, because it feels just like, oh, like you feel like you're going crazy sometimes, and it can be somewhat embarrassing, and I want to release some of the embarrassment and shame by just publicly talking about it. Because I've, through talking about it, realized how many other people are also experiencing it. Just some quick tools that I learned is, you know, and you probably know this, deep breathing, and there's different kinds.
Yes.
Breathing all the way to your belly. A lot of us are shallow breathers, and we kind of stay up in our chest. So getting that breath down to the belly, or focusing on breathing from the nose. There's a million and one breathing techniques. Try one of them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Breath is what keeps us alive and keeps our brains working. It only makes sense.
Yeah, and there's this other, I will find it a little bit later, but there's this other meditation technique that I have been using that's been very helpful too. Also juggling, apparently, because it gets your brain, it makes you use your left and your right part of your brain. Because when you're in a panic attack, you're only using, the fight or flight part of your brain. And doing something that is involving both of your hands.
Wow.
Yeah, right? So,
James, can I just tell you a quick little story, which is so amazing?
Yeah.
When I was dumped by my college boyfriend that you know, which we will not say his name on the podcast.
He's a Voldemort.
Well, I don't want to call him a Voldemort. Well, he's a nice guy.
Okay, all right. I take it back. Stricken from the record. I take it back. Let the record state. I've taken it back.
It's been many, 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 many years. But anyways, it was right after college. I was living at home at my dad's house, and I was very anxiety ridden, really depressed, and taught myself how to juggle.
Whoa.
Randomly.
What?
And that helped me out of it. I'm dead serious.
See, this is exactly, do you see, like, that's amazing. That is so cool.
Right? I never made the connection until you just said
that. That's what it was. It was like you're getting you to use both parts of your brain. That is amazing. There it is. A testimonial. So this shit works, y'all.
Yeah.
Like she said it right
there.
Yes. And also like something that the podcast, there's actually like on the anxiety podcast, he has an exact like 17-minute podcast like to use in case of an anxiety attack. It's like, listen to this right now if you're having a panic attack.
And that's good.
You know, if you're having one, just remember you will survive, or any sort of anxiety that you're feeling. If you're feeling anxious about anything, it's a feeling. You will survive this. You always have. Look how many years you've survived it. We are, as human beings, we just naturally are survivors. And that's
so
where
true.
Our anxiety actually is kind of stemming in coming from, you know? You know, I was going to pose the question, like, how are we getting to this point of anxiety and fear? Why is there so much? You know, fear and anxiety, it's a survival mechanism. We do need it. I used to have this phrase of like, oh, I'm going to be so fearless. I'm going to be so fearless. But my fear is giving me information about something. It's asking me to check in. And so I'm removing the word fearless from myself, and I'm going to be brave. Mm-hmm. Being brave allows you to acknowledge the fear because it's a real feeling. And you have to, it's important to acknowledge all of your feelings. It's information that your body is telling you. It's trying to protect you.
And
sometimes it can sort of like check in with that fear of like, okay, is this going to kill me? No, I'm going to be okay. I'm a little scared, but I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to push through this, right? And I'm going to.
That's excellent, because fear is natural.
It's natural. It's literally your body just checking, it thinks that it's going to die. And when you're in full-blown panic attack, you're literally in fight or flight mode, and you think that for me, it's like I feel like everything's about trying to, you know, kill me. And I was listening to the podcast, and it was saying how, you know, they say the older you get, the more anxiety you're going to have.
Right? Oh, interesting.
So, and that's why, like, older people, they're like, I don't need that much sleep. They don't sleep that much because they're full of anxiety.
That's why I don't sleep sometimes, is because I have anxiety.
Right, yes. So this is, like, I think it's so important to get ahead of this, because it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, they also say that millennials are getting anxiety and panic attacks at earlier ages.
Ooh, I believe it.
So it's all the more important for us to sort of get ahead of it, because the anxiety doesn't have to rule us, because again, it's just information. No. It will pass. Like sometimes, like I'll get, you know, anxious about things at like work. And a lot of it is what you're realizing is that your brain is living in fear of like, it's not going to work out. And you're imagining the worst possible scenario, right? And you're
to prepare.
And cause you're thinking that you're going to die. Like it really roots to like, this is going to kill me. Like you have all these dots of like, I'll lose my job and then I'll be homeless and I'll be a failure and everyone will hate me and I'll die.
It's like going back to the root of what they call like the lizard brain, or like a little squirrel, you know, like a basic mammal that is just trying to collect its nuts and stay away from eagles.
Yes.
Like, we just go back to our primal mode, which is just trying to collect our nuts and stay away from saber-toothed tigers.
Right. Well, and I think that sometimes it's so important to the thinking has its places to keep us alive. But there's some moments where it's like, I don't need to be thinking this far ahead, right? These thoughts are not helpful. So it's like, you know, your thoughts and even your feelings, like the anxious feelings that you have, you can kind of think of it as clouds passing. It'll pass. Or even weather. You know, all weather is important. We have to have storms come through, but they also pass. And they're important to have because it gives you information. It's going to pass, you know? You'll have some sunshine.
That's excellent. That's good. I love that way of thinking.
Right. And sometimes the key is also, sometimes we'll have shame and guilt about either our feelings of anxiety or even our thoughts that come through. And I just say, fuck that, because now it's a double-edged sword. We can be so, again, cruel to our own selves and that shame and guilt, like, no, let's get rid of that. Just an example of sometimes like I get annoyed. I've been noticing I've been very irritable, and that's my body telling me something, that there's some, it needs something, or it's saying, hey, pay attention to me, right? There's something inside.
Right.
And sometimes like I'll be, you know, if I'm stressed out at work or I was getting all these stresses, what is it that I was needing? I was feeling underappreciated.
Oh.
And so what I told myself is, James, you're really amazing. Look at all this stuff that you're doing. And a lot of people are asking a lot of you. And you're saying yes because you know that you can get it done, and you will. And you know what? Even if you don't get it done, fuck it. You're doing your best. Enjoy life. But I appreciate you. So I needed to feel appreciated. So sometimes it's like you can kind of ask questions. And if I don't sit with those feelings, then I don't get to the root of it. And so I need to sit with my storm and my feelings so I can find out what the information my body is trying to tell me.
Oh, that's good.
Or sometimes like I'll get annoyed by other people, like, oh, these people over there, I'm in the park and I'm trying to read. What is that about, right? Is it that they're
is
it really annoying? Or, oh, I feel like I'm kind of missing out. I miss my friends. I wish I was hanging out with someone. Or also, is this just information that I can pass? Like, I don't have to. Sometimes we cling to need to make a judgment about everything, or like to process it because it's our body trying to survive. Like, we need to categorize stuff because it's like, okay, those girls over there are talking really loud. I don't like them. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. Or instead, let it just be information. Clouds passing by. There's some girls talking. Right. Next.
Move on.
Exactly. Right?
I love that. That's a good way of thinking about it, because it's like being in check and in tune with our bodies. And a lot of times we want to be in check and in tune with our bodies with health and fitness and eating right, eating vitamins. But we also need to be in there for the mental aspects of things, because that is completely everything is working together.
Right.
And if you neglect one aspect, you know.
And what it is I think the reason why we get increased anxiety as we get older, because your brain learns how you like to function. And so we wire our brains. And so what it is we have to rewire our brains, right? Like if I'm feeling feelings of anxiety and it happens more and more, it's because I'm feeling it more and more unsafe. So I tell myself, I'm safe. I'm fine. I'm going to survive, right?
That's a good way of thinking.
You know, if you are constantly annoyed by other people, you know, those annoying girls, your brain, you're triggered faster and faster because you've wired your brain to think that way. Like when your partner does something annoying and it gets more and more annoying, it's because you've wired your brain.
Yes.
And so your reactions are happening even faster and faster and faster. So
I love it.
I have something that, like, I was coming across all this information, and as I mentioned last year in December, I'm doing the Artist Way by Julia Cameron. It's a it's a 12-step program. I think some of our listeners are doing it as well. It's a 12-step program for artists. You're supposed to read one chapter a week. I'm doing one chapter a month, and I was on the chat on chapter four. It's a reading deprivation exercise.
What is this?
Okay. So it's a reading deprivation. And so what it is it's saying for 1 week, don't read anything.
Oh.
Yes. Like, and some of you are already like, you're already resisting me because you're trying to keep yourself safe. Your mind is like, not you specifically, but like some of
the royal you.
The royal you. Because you're like, but I have work and I have emails and I have school. Okay. Maybe there's certain things that you... you're maybe going to need to, if it's involving your job, but maybe you can scale that back a bit. So what it is, it's a reading deprivation. I extended this to also like internet videos, YouTube, Hulu, Netflix. I'm pretty much viewing, stuff.
So you're giving yourself a break from stimulation.
Yes. From outside stimulative sources like that. Mm. Unless I gave myself this one caveat. And you know what? Also give yourself whatever rules that you need to make this work, right? And like
and if you don't have to be the best at this.
Exactly. And that's what it is. Like I can be such a perfectionist that I'm like, oh my God, I get this right. And then shame and guilt come in. Fuck that
mess.
And then it's just me feeling shitty about it. So fuck that mess. So I gave myself the caveat because I was visiting my cousin and his wife in DC. So he's like, if it's social, I'm gonna watch, like, you know, we watch Scandal, so we watch some TV. Or if it was research for my show, I watched the documentary Paris is Burning. Because sometimes I found myself that, like, YouTube will get me. I will watch one YouTube video and they will have 10 new things that I want to watch them all.
I know.
All of those corners.
I will be in a YouTube K-hole just watching ladies do their hair for like 2 hours.
I watch so many fights on The View. I'm like, I just listen to all these ladies' conversations. And next thing I know, I've lost like an hour and I've lost, or, you know, or even like social media, like Facebook, you will just be like drawn in.
Just lost.
So all of that is cut. Like the part of this reading deprivation, you're giving up all that social media, all that stuff. I really recommend definitely giving up social media as part of this reading deprivation and just unplugging. So why do this? I'm going to read a little excerpt from this book, if you don't mind.
I do not mind at all.
So I know some of you are thinking, what? That what? And so yes,
you crazy. That's me. That's a listener,
right? You get out of here.
What?
You don't know my life. So Julia
says, "What is James saying?"
So she uses the word artist, and we all are artists because we all are creators. Like we're constantly creating in our life. That's what human beings do. We create. So for most artists, words are like tiny tranquilizers. We have a daily quota of media chat that we swallow up. Like greasy food, it clogs our systems, too much of it, and we feel, fried. Mm. And we don't even, and I think like we don't even realize it, you know?
Right.
So little other parts, without distractions, we are once again thrust into the sensory world. With no newspaper to shield us, a train becomes a viewing gallery. With no novel to sink into and no television to numb us out, an evening becomes a vast savanna in which furniture and other assumptions get rearranged. Like you have all these different possibilities.
I get the point of it now. Yeah.
And so she also says that we often cannot hear our own inner voice, the voice of our artist inspirations above the static. In participating in reading deprivation, we need to cast a watchful eye on these other pollutants that poison us as well. And the last thing I want to read about this, she said that we gobble the words of others rather than digest our own thoughts and feelings, rather than cook up something of our own. And
that's good.
Right? You go.
Well, I was just going to say that I sometimes find myself doing a little bit of that exercise where it's like, let's say I'm picking up a prescription and I'm just sitting in a waiting room or I'm out to eat and I don't have a book. Mm-hmm. When you don't have that constant stimuli, which I believe now even more so probably than when the book was written, it is the cell phone.
Yes.
Cell phone that you talked about.
Right. Yeah.
It's that addiction. So when you're without it, things you start to notice. I start to notice people. I start to notice fashion. I start to notice the nature. And it's actually, it's very nice. It's very freeing to not be so dependent on content.
Absolutely. And I think that I think everything has its place, you know, everything has its balance and its rewards. I think technology can be, I love the internet, but like I have this crazy addiction that I didn't even realize that I had to it. And you think about too, like, the internet is so full of marketing and TV is so full of marketing that and there's so much messaging and layering in those messages. I was on this one website, Queerity, where I usually just get my, you know, daily queer news. And on the corner, there was like this advertisement for Atlantis Cruise. And there's like two, you know, buff white guys. That's information that my brain is taking in,
processing
and making me feel like, you know, most advertising is showing you what you don't have, what you're not.
Right.
And in many levels, not just are they advertising this detergent, but they're also like, you know, this woman has beautiful hair. I don't have that beautiful hair. She's really look at her beautiful house. Like, there's so much that our brain is processing. And especially like on Facebook and social media, it's constant comparing that we don't even realize that we're doing. And you have to look at this. Facebook is, and I love me a Facebook. I've been on there since proud member, since it was, you know, first started, where it was just college students.
I know. I didn't even join then.
Yeah. I had to beat there. Oh, yeah. That's why, like, our friendship is, like, you and Aneke have been friends for 5 years. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and you're like, what? And I was like, I'm a late adopter.
You were. Well, it didn't used to have all these feeds. It was just a way to communicate. And you have to even look at it. Like, Facebook is actually completely just advertisement, because you yourself are advertising what you want to
advertise. Yes, you're advertising your life.
And, you know, and so you're reading this feed. It's not only what they're advertising to you, but it's what the people in your circle are also advertising to you. And your brain can't help but compare and contrast and say what you are and say what you're not. So you got to taking that step back from all of that. Like, it's just, we're so inundated with so much information. And I feel like, of course, there's a higher rise in anxiety amongst, you know, millennials and people, you know? You know, and I'm only on my fifth day of this. It's amazing, Aneke. I almost don't I mean, I will go back, but I'm gonna have parameters set. But it's been beautiful and amazing. It was hard at times, and also it's been very freeing and liberating, because I feel completely
reset.
Yeah, I mean, especially to, like, I haven't read anything on the internet, or like I've only read like some a work email here or there, but it's not even that much. And I left, when I was at my cousin's house, we would go out. I left my phone at his house.
Went
off the grid, 'cause I was like, what am I going to check? I don't have any internet. Right. So I don't have any, you know, Facebooks or social media. So that in and of itself. And I would tell you, I would see my cousin reach for his phone and I would reach for mine. I'd be like,
it's addictive. It's instinctual to see other people do it. You want to do it.
And I also noticed that I will search for, I'll go to a website. Like, if I get uncomfortable or if I'm bored or I can't remember what I was going to do, I will just like, I would catch myself because I can't do it, but I would mindlessly just go to a website. It's to consume that information or to numb or to feel something or just to like constantly devour. I have noticed a decrease, in my anxiety, increase in my awareness. I went and I worked outside. I brought my computer and I worked outside. I live by the Hudson River because I was like, well, I don't need any internet. Like, I'm not going to be reading anything. I can do some projects that I have. And I don't think I would have done that if I would have been so glued.
Right. So true. There's something about unplugging, because there was a moment back where, remember, I unplugged.
Yes.
And I'm back, but my interaction on Facebook has completely changed since I unplugged. Yeah. I am way more hesitant to post things, way more hesitant to comment on things, way more hesitant to actually engage and just like really feed the monster.
Yeah.
And I have to say, what you were saying about just that instinct to look up something on your phone, there's something about recalling a memory, recalling a fact, recalling something
that
just
makes
your brain feel like it's actually pumping and working.
Very good. Yeah, you're right, because we'll just be so quick to sort of Google it. I also, through this, I cut out porn. I have been just relentless. It's been a long time since I've not used porn. It's been amazing. Oh my god, I'm having such a good time. I'm having a blast. Having a blast. But even that, like the imaging of porn, it's like, you know, again, anything can be a useful tool, but it's like
it's still that image.
Nothing has been checked. I have been going full-blown reading internet porn for decades.
Look at you. You are like... And living on like full it's like, cloud right now. It's
I'm
good.
Practically a I'm practically Amish at this point. Just sort of, I'm essentially an Amish man and loving it. Just living off the land in New York.
It's good. We all need it. It's the reason why we go camping.
So exactly. But so I have about 2 more days left, and I think I want to try to do something like this. Maybe even like once a month, have like a weekend or a few days. Incorporate more of this. I'm gonna regiment my internet intake. Like I will say, all right, from 12 to 1 o'clock, I can check my websites that I want to check, and that's it, you know? Because I will sometimes, like, refresh a website 5 times within a day. What? Why do I need to?
I know, nothing's changing.
Oh, I got one new article. Like...
I know. You'll notice after you get into practice of regimenting this stuff, or just, you know, cutting back, you'll use it less.
Yeah.
You'll need, the dependency will drop off.
Absolutely. I might even just regiment like specific social media days and social media blocks. Like, okay, Fridays are, you know, Facebook days or something. Like I just less. The last thing I want to leave everybody with, I know I'm going on for a long time,
is interesting stuff.
Well, because like, you know, part of my panic attacks was being triggered by, I was just getting so much information and not even looking for it, just about like Trump and whatnot. And I think it was, and I wasn't really acknowledging that I was feeling scared or about it. And so then it's just been bubbling up. And my friend was talking about some Trump stuff and I was going into a panic attack.
You felt it.
Yeah, it was just coming up. And so that's why I wanted to like not really, you know, if some of you are looking for that, like I feel like you're getting enough of that. So we really like, it's about, you know, when the plane is crashing, I'm not saying a plane is crashing, but you put on your own oxygen mask first and then help the people around you. And that's what I feel like I'm personally doing. I needed to put my own oxygen mask on. Now I'm putting it on you, my little kids, I'm putting on my kids, my corner kids. I am breathing and now I'm going to try to help y'all breathe too.
I completely agree with that. I think that is, and that's probably why, sorry, listeners, that we're not talking about current events that much, because we got to take care of ourselves.
Right. Because otherwise, you go.
It's just good to fucking focus on the positive stuff sometimes when every single media machine out there is pumping out the same story.
Right.
We're just trying to take a little bit of a detour somewhere else sometimes.
And give you some balance and some self-care and some love of like, there's some stuff that we have to, you know, work on and do. Last thing I want to give, one last gift I would like to give you. So challenges, and this is for you too, Aneke.
Okay.
Incorporate more play into your life. I didn't realize this, but I'm an adult. You know how I know I'm an adult?
How?
I don't play.
Right.
I think I'm playing, but I'm not.
Right. What do you mean?
Well, you know, I look at kids. When you're a kid, you don't really have that many stresses unless you've got some stupid bully or if you have like a home that like that's really stressful. But ideally, kids shouldn't have stress. And part of the reason is because I think that they play and there's such freedom in that.
Yeah.
Take your job. Can you take it a little less seriously, you know, in the terms of can you make it just more playful of like pretend like you're a kid and you're playing dress up? Because really, unless you're a surgeon, with most of our jobs, no one's gonna die. But we are constantly somewhere in the back of our minds, still in that fight or flight stress anxiety mode. Mm-hmm. So just make it more fun.
Yeah.
Like, what can you give yourself a gift of like, ooh, I am checking my email. Like, can you, or ooh, I'm going to a meeting.
Right.
I might,
or take
I'm
a
just
break.
Gonna see
Go
what happens.
Go look at a flower. Go walk around.
And that's my other thing I wanted to get at. Exactly. Take your breaks. We as Americans work harder than any other country and more.
So
go take your break. Walk away from it. Don't eat lunch in front of that goddamn computer.
Yeah.
Go eat outside. It is springtime. You know, there's so many apps where you can meditate for 5 minutes. 5 minute meditation. Breathe for 5 minutes.
Right. Take care of yourself.
A lot of times what we're doing is we're taking care of ourselves through, you know, drugs and alcohol. And like, you know, also I wanted to point this out that San Francisco has the highest rate of readers and drinkers per capita. So again, it's like the more information you have, it's like you got to numb it. Right. So.
Right. It's so true because I was just going to say the first thing that I thought of is adult play is drinking.
Right. So. And what I would say is I find other things. Like, what did you like? Make a list of things that you like to do when you were a kid. For me, it's like Play-Doh and Legos and puzzles and coloring books. Go buy yourself some toys. Why did we stop playing? And see if you can factor in, my goal is to factor in, you know, some playtime, at least like 30 minutes of playtime a day. And maybe it's just playing with some Play-Doh, some Legos. Give myself that time to play or take a walk, do some meditations. And even maybe calling hangouts instead of I'm going to hang out with my friend. I'm going on a play date.
Oh, okay.
Just that. Like, I viewed this little Minority Corner recording session. This is a play date with my friend Aneke.
We're playing. It's true.
It really is a play date,
it's
you know?
It's unchaperoned, but it's a play date.
It's very much unchaperoned.
Gonna get wild. Also
and if you are going out, you know, drinking with your friends, acknowledge in your head, this is my play time.
Right.
Because give yourself, acknowledge when you are playing and that sort of a thing.
Right, and so enjoy the company, not the alcohol. Like, you know, don't use a drug or a substance as a reason. Use the people or the experience as the reason, I think, too, is a good way to refocus your attention.
Okay,
when
DARE
you're going
program.
Out. What?
Okay, DARE.
No, I'm not saying
DARE
don't do drugs and don't drink alcohol. Have fun. I'm just saying that I have more fun when I'm going out to hang out with friends and drink versus I'm going out to drink and hang out with friends.
Very true. And that is like, if you're going out to drink, that is some information that, like, just sit with that. Sit with that sentence.
Yes, why?
Listen to what you just said. Listen to that. And maybe meditate and go play with some Play-Doh first and then come back to that.
Yeah.
So that's my challenge, reading deprivation for a week and incorporate more play into your life. And I was going to say, post about how you're doing, but if you're doing the reading deprivation, you can't. So
take
post afterwards.
I love that. Thank you, James, so much. This has been like, all your little like inspirational corners have been really kind of helping out the listeners. I know that, and also myself. So I really wanted to extend a thank you to that, to just refocus on some of these aspects that we tend to lose sight of as adults.
Absolutely. Let's just, and we are the Minority Corner. It's supposed to be about learn, laugh, and play.
It's
so
true.
We got to do it too.
We got to play.
We got to play just to make it today. We got to play.
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 We got to play just to make it today.
I think this is the second time we've used that MC Hammer song too. We are in my corner, everybody.
It's your corner. Carrie, Bear, Sarah, go.
All right, y'all. We are in Neke's corner. And before I announce the name of the corner, I wanted to give a little background story. Because I was going, you know.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I was going to talk about one topic that I'm not going to bring up because I might actually talk about it next week.
Surprise for later.
But this week I was bombarded, as you brought up in your last corner, by a lot of different social media things and a lot of different articles and stories, which inspired me and pushed me forward to do this one topic that I actually had in my you know, reserve tanks.
Your repertoire of corner topics.
My unpublished Gmail notes.
I got those too. You're like, oops, save that one for later.
Yeah, that one might be good. And every time I've been like, I don't know. Because a lot of people have kind of, not a lot of people, but it's been mentioned where it's like, oh, maybe we should talk about other groups of people and kind of diversify. And I was feeling a little down these past couple of days. And I noticed it was because of the stories that I've been hearing. So here's a couple of the stories. The first story was just came out. It was in the Hollywood Reporter, and Scandal's coming up on its 100th episode. So they had a one of those where it's like a, what is it called? Where it's a bunch of people talking about the history.
Oh, of like the show. They like, yeah. You know, oh, that's fun. I want to see that. I didn't see that.
It's on the Hollywood Reporter. You should check it out. Ooh. It's actually very interesting, and I think everybody should go into it. Like, this is besides the point, but the guy who was the husband of Viola Davis in How to...
Get Away with Murder.
Remember him? Like, why is yes. there a dead... Why is there... What was it, a dead woman on your phone or whatever?
Yeah, why is this dead girl on your phone?
Oh, yeah. Or why is your dick on a dead woman's phone?
Yes. And I just rewatched. I've seen that episode 3 times because I always get it's other people so turned on it. It's so good. That show is amazing.
So
good.
So he is actually an executive producer on Scandal. And he's married to a black woman in real life.
Of course.
But anyways, that's besides the point.
And I mean that like as like he's, you know, sexy as fuck. And of course, he's like, he's just down. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
That was one of the reasons that they brought him up in the story is because in order to get people of color cast and people of color in the forefront, you need to have advocates.
People who get it. Yeah.
And he's actually the one that suggested Ava DuVernay to direct an episode of Scandal.
Damn. And you know what? I will say this. Like, Shonda, mm-hmm. I have it on my vision wall. I'm going to be a regular on a Shondaland production.
Yes,
like,
it's going to happen.
That entire community, it's like, those are folks who get it. And if you don't get it, you're going to go away, Isaiah mm-hmm. Washington. And then when you do get it, you get to come back. He got to come back. He got a learning experience, and they allowed him to come back. Like,
I love it. That's the way it should always work. But, okay, so the reason that I brought up the verbal account of Scandal history is because even though it's based off of a Washington, D.C. fixer who is black,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. the networks were really insisting on casting Connie Britton and a list of other white women for the role.
No way.
So, like, Shonda and everybody else had
Connie.
To...
I love Connie, too. But no, Scandal right. would not be the same. Mm-mm, not interested.
Exactly. So that kind of was like, here we go again. But thankfully, they got Kerry Washington cast. But, like, they literally had to fight against these network officials.
Wow. So, and I bet they had to get a big name. And this is Shonda after, like, 2 successful shows, Grey's and Private Practice, and she still couldn't get what she wanted. Damn.
Well, she got what she wanted, but she had to fight for it.
Yeah, which is she shouldn't have had to.
Exactly. So that was one aspect where I was like, damn, erasure of black women again. But thankfully, it didn't happen. Another story that came up that led to my decision of changing the topic that I'm going to talk about today is this one director, John Ridley. He has a new miniseries coming out called Guerrilla, which is basically a miniseries for Showtime in England, I think Sky Atlantic, which is about the Black Power movement in Britain.
Ooh.
Which took place in the 70s. So John great. Ridley is black, and mm-hmm. he supposedly it's supposed to be really great. Idris Elba's sexy ass is in it, and
I heard about this. And sorry to jump in here, but one of the actresses, mm-hmm. she was reading it because the Brits don't learn about their history. She mm-hmm. thought that he was making up most of the stuff, that it was fantasy. One of the actresses in it, and she had to check with him. He was like, "No, this shit is all real," and she did some research. Like, yeah, so
wow. Well, I'm glad that he was able to correct her on that, but I'm actually kind of side-eyeing him because apparently there's a main couple that's played by this guy named Babu Chise, and his girlfriend in it is played by Frida Pinto, who I love. She's a great actress. She was in Slumdog Millionaires, beautiful.
Oh,
Asian.
She was the one. She was mm-hmm. the one.
Okay,
So
here's the thing that's frustrating, especially since she's saying this. So, there's only one black woman in this thing about the Black Power movement, and the only black woman in this is a spy for a racist white police officer.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and people
how did that
are trying,
happen?
The fucking John Ridley. He so people tried to ask him about it, and he turned it around on its head. almost using the angry black woman trope, because the person who asked, the journalist who asked, was like, well, understand that it's great to have diversity and this black power, but this is a move, this is a miniseries about the black power movement, and the lead woman is Indian, which is great for diversity, but there's no other black women in this. And that hits me in my heart, because it's always been the erasure of black women in the black power movement, back to here in America, and now I'm seeing it in this miniseries and in general. And then the erasure of black women in women of color in the women's rights movement.
Yeah.
So it's like, when are we gonna fucking...
We're here too. We're here too. That is insane. I mean, you can't have, I mean, I don't understand how you would, I don't know what the thought process is of like writing this series and not writing. It's weird. Like I'm hella side eyeing that. I'm glad the story is being told, right? But someone better get ready to do another one, because this is not enough.
Right. So there is that. So there is Connie Britton, who's a wonderful actress, but ABC was trying to push for that. There is John Ridley, who is erasing black women from the black power movement in England. And then...
They weren't there.
They were
Scary Spice wasn't born yet. So as we know, there was not a black woman in Britain until the 90s. And she was the first one, according to visual black history in Britain, right? Like, she was the first one.
Ta-da!
Here she is, and she's scary. That was their first word that they had to describe her.
God damn
it. The first visual black woman in England, Scary Spice.
Which brings me to the third and final reason why I am talking about the topic that I will be talking about, because this morning I was listening to this wonderful podcast, which Tripod.
Minority Corner?
Oh. Yes, but also... This one podcast called 99% Invisible, which I've talked about before in the past in here, and I highly suggest you guys look at or listen to it, because it's about design, but it also goes further than design. And today they brought up this one prolific architect who designed things in L.A., from like the 1900s up until his death in 1980. He designed, and his name is Paul Revere Williams. He's done some iconic, he literally, when you think of like that kind of Spanish style, classic Hollywood, golden era type building, he designed that.
Oh.
He designed so many different things, and he was black.
Well, there you go.
Amazing. And you never hear about him. In fact, he designed the Beverly Hills Hotel. Like, he did all of that iconic LA look is Paul Revere Williams. So I was bummed because, one, I had never heard about him. And two, the story that went along with him. One, he had to fight to get people to hire him. Classic tale. Tale as old as time.
That's the real tale as old as time. Get out of here, Beauty and the Beast. And why is that the tale that's old as time?
Racism. That's
that's the real tale as old as time. Tale as old as time. Racism.
So he literally was the example of the speech that all black kids get, where it's like, you have to be like 10 times better to get 10 times less. Mm-hmm. He would have to draw. Well, one, he never made his clients uncomfortable by not forcing them to shake his hand, by not sitting next to them, because people didn't want him to sit in this. Anyways.
Yes.
And when his trick was that got people to really love him was that he would draw upside down. So whenever somebody would be describing the house that they would want, he would draw the plans for them while upside down to him, so they could see it right side up.
What? That is amazing and super talented.
And we don't know his fucking name.
Wow.
You know?
Well, we know, say it. We know it now.
So the connecting the dots of those three things are, one, we never hear about black people in professions that we don't expect them to be in, aka architecture.
Yeah.
Two, black women are constantly being erased from history.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that I'm bringing up the story on three black female mathematicians. Ooh. So these three women who are doing shit now can be, one, recognized for being a fucking mathematician, which is unusual for black women.
Yes.
And two, we don't fucking forget them.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, James.
Let's get into it. And I also just want to say, too, just to point out, like, the all the more reason that if you are a woman, if you are a POC, LGBT, or have any other sort of disability that we're not, or, you know, anything else that is other, like, considered othered or whatnot.
Right.
All the more, you have that much more stress and anxiety. So all the more reason to self-care for, like, all the things that we talk about in terms of self-care, all the more reason to take care of that.
Take care of yourself. And you know what? Me reading these stories of these black female mathematicians is taking care of myself.
Yes. Because absolutely. And all the other black women who are out there listening being like, yes.
Right. And everybody else. I've been absorbing all of this stuff. And it has literally deteriorated me a little bit. So I need to read this stuff to feel great, and I hope you guys enjoy listening to these stories as well.
Oh, they will.
Okay, so the first one. Her name is Chanda Prescott Weinstein.
Hey, girl.
She is a fucking astrophysicist and self-proclaimed axon wrangler. A lot of these things I'm not going to know what the hell I'm talking about because I'm not a mathematician, but I'm glad that they do.
That's fancy as fuck.
I know.
Fancy as fuck are these ladies. That's the new crew name. Fancy as
fancy
fuck.
Fancy as fuck.
Who are you? I'm fancy as fuck.
It's true. Fucking astrophysicist. So she's an astrophysicist at the University of Washington in Seattle. And she is currently studying dark matter, which is it's amazing. So she discovered that she was really into astrophysics when she was 10 because her mother took her to see a documentary about Stephen Hawking's Errol Morris's A Brief History in Time. She was hooked by the time they got to black hole singularities. So if you have a kid, no matter who your kid is, but if you have a kid that is interested in black hole singularities, get them into some fucking shit so they can become an astrophysicist, you know?
Because we need some people studying that shit. That we need people up in there figuring that out because we are missing out on all kinds of things.
It's so true. And not only is she an astrophysicist studying dark matter, she is also an advocate for black women and non-binary people in STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
She maintains a list, which is called the Decolonizing Science Reading List, that is required viewing for any and all interested in social justice and science. So not only is she doing her thing in astrophysics, she's fucking being an advocate for everybody else to come out and do it as well.
Give me that list. Where can I find it? I want to see that list, too. Google me that.
It's Decolonizing Science Reading List.
Well, I can't read the internet until Friday, but when I do, when give you me are that ready, list.
That's a positive thing to go check into.
First day back.
Woo! And her name is Chandra Prescott Weinstein. So the next one, Chelsea Walton.
Hey, girl.
Okay, so Chelsea Walton is an assistant professor in the mathematics department at Temple University, and she has quoted in saying, "I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and it was a great place to grow up. Detroit is a blue-collar city, and if there is one skill that I have learned from there is resourcefulness. As a child, I loved mathematics. I was always counting objects, finding patterns, and logic puzzles were absolutely fun to me, and Donald Duck's in Math Magic Land was mind-blowing." So if you have, and especially, I really want to keep nailing this down. If you are the parent to a black child, if you are the parent to a female-identifying person, and they show interest in math, it is statistically known that black children, children of color, and girl children are discouraged from being involved in math. It is one of those things that you were talking about in your last corner where we are constantly seeing and digesting these images of girls don't like math. Fuck that. If you have a kid that is interested in logic, they like math. and give them some math, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she, Walton, really got encouragement from her professors, which is what got her into mathematics. So that is another good reason why we need to have diversity in the classroom as well. We need students to find a role model.
Yeah, that person that's going to help push them further. And I also like that you know, she also mentions about Detroit, because I think that Detroit gets a really bad rap. And there's a lot of brilliant, beautiful people that come out of Detroit. This is also like, you know, she might think a little bit differently, but she's been very successful. And Omarosa also came from Detroit, and she grew up in the projects. I caught a lot of this information on The View. She was on one of the panels of The View. And you know what? I don't necessarily agree with a lot of her politics, but her story and her journey, and she's not a Stacey Dash, whereas I feel like Stacey Dash, I don't know about Stacey Dash either. But what I do appreciate, when Omarosa talks, she is a proud Black woman. She just might be on a different side of things, and she knows where she came from, and she, you know, she worked hard to get there. But she also is from Detroit.
Yeah, I get it. Not letting your surroundings limit you and using it instead to empower you and to where you are going to go. Hopefully for the benefit of the rest of your people.
But also don't forget where you came from, and that sometimes there are some other realities that sort of shape where other people can go as well. Don't have that amnesia.
I know. So Chelsea Walton, her research, she goes, in general, my research lies in the area of non-communicative algebra, which involves studying algebraic structures that have non-communicative multiplication, where X times Y does not necessarily equal Y times X. Examples of such structures are functions, as performing two functions back to back may yield different results if they are performed in a different order. For example, try washing and drying your clothes in a different order. So, you know what? She's doing some math shit, and I'm into it.
Yeah, I don't know what it means, because it's been a while since I was in my physics class, but damn.
Right? I haven't taken algebra in a minute, and I'm into it, but you know what? I'm glad that it's a Black woman saying this confusing shit, because the stereotype is we don't talk in confusing scientist way. So I am, speak it up, girl.
And I quote, I love that you just quoted some random math, and she said, and you just quoted some random math shit, and you're like, I don't know. See what she said?
I'm going to keep it honest. I am a librarian and a podcaster.
Exactly. I get it. But what I also love, too, is that also just like listening to me, listening to her.
Listening to myself.
But it made me think of like the possibilities. Like math is all, remember I said that we're all creators, and math is also like you're creating solutions and solving solutions. And computers can't, they can only do what we tell them to do. Right. And so like there's still math equations that it's not so much that what needs to be solved, but what is like, you know, we don't even know the equations that need to be created to be solved. And that's our job as human beings, is to create the equations that then need to be solved. So we got to keep creating.
There you go. Until Skynet takes us over, and
AKA the cloud. I mean, we already named it. Did nobody watch that movie? Did like our the robot people? hello? Do people not watch science fiction? Why the fuck would you name it the cloud?
I don't know. Sounds very similar
to Skynet. We know how this story ends, and it does not bode well.
It does not go well for us.
For us, unless you were a Linda Hamilton lookalike. Yes. Oh, and I think she died too. So
Linda Hamilton is alive?
No, oh, I mean, you mean like her character.
Yeah, she did die.
The third one with with Claire Danes. Claire Danes was in the third one.
She was?
She was.
Okay, they had a now female I'm confused.
They had a female T3 robot.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe one of these ladies will help us out with that equation. They can come back.
I bet they will.
Combat some of this AI research, which is scaring the shit out of me, and I don't like it.
They will combat Skynet. So you got to meditate, boo.
Okay, so the last one. Talithia Williams. So Talithia Williams is a statistician.
What is it? Getting them stats.
There we go.
She is getting them stats.
And she's a professor in mathematics at the Harvey Mudd College. She has also had research appointments at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the National Security Agency, and motherfucking NASA.
Yes.
So this is how she listened to this smart ass. She is so fucking smart. She goes, in the 10th grade, I got a job as a cashier at our local grocery store. It was back in the day when cash registers were more basic, and I often would do math in my head to calculate a customer's change. I would try to beat the cash register to figure out the correct amount. I suppose Whoa. This is when mental math became easy for me and allowed me to do better in my math class. What?
That is so crazy.
That is like, some fucking brilliant shit where she's just like, I'm doing this for fun. I'm like, yeah, you go. Get that math, cultivate it, do something with it.
I want to start trying to do that too in my own head. I mean, I usually don't even use like cash, but if I do, I want to try to be like, what's that change going to be? Because I need to use that math brain more.
You should do it and then help me because I don't, you know, whatever. I exercise my brain with language. Anyway, so.
true.
So Talithia Williams, I want all of y'all to go look her up. She has a TED Talk.
I bet it's brilliant.
She did in 2014, and it's about keeping track of your body's own data, which sounds like it might go hand in hand. It's a math version of your corner.
Which is great, because then you can use from both sides. Like, I'm all about coming at things from both angles, using all sides of our brain to be fully functional.
It's so true. Just being in check with yourself. So the TED Talk has exceeded over 1.2 million views.
You better get it, girl.
Her talk is basically, just to kind of go into it a little bit more, it's about collecting data on your body's basic functions, sleep, menstrual cycle, heart rate, and how that can benefit your health. So it's about checking in with yourself in a more mathematic, kind of calculated way to really understand what's going on with your body. She says, by taking ownership of your data, by taking daily measurements about yourself, you become an expert on your body. You become the authority.
Ooh.
Oh, she's so cool.
That's cool. That's good. Because I feel like we lose our own power and our own authority. We're so busy just going around and letting people, we're literally just like a little pinball in a pinball machine.
Right.
And that is not the metaphor that I want for my life.
No, I do not want to be a little pinball in a pinball machine.
I want to be a Wonder Twin standing on a rock in the Superman pose.
We are the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Of the podcasting. But can we eventually, like, I was going to say Wonder Twins standing in the Wonder Twin pose, but no one knows what that is. So we gotta
clarify it a little bit. You know what? I feel bad because there is one more on here and I would feel bad to leave her out. Do you mind if I just cover
her? Let's get in there. What's she doing?
Okay, so Christina Eubanks Turner. She is an assistant professor of mathematics at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. She is also passionate about research in commutative algebra. Sure. Since 2012, she has published 10 academic papers on mathematics and STEM education. So here's another origin story for her. Her name again is Christina Eubanks Turner. I first got excited about math when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, except I didn't know it was math I was excited about. In my enrichment class, my teacher allowed me to work on puzzles, in particular logic puzzles, where you're given clues and had to figure out who did what. Today, I know this foundation in logic is what I enjoy about the theoretical mathematics I work on, which is interesting to me because I really liked logic puzzles when I was a kid as well. Exactly same age, fourth or fifth grade. But you know what? Nobody pointed out to me that that was theoretical mathematics. And in fact, I still don't even know what theoretical mathematics is, honestly.
But you could have known because this could have been your career path that someone was like, this kid's got the math smarts.
It's true. So we really need to pay attention to our kids and what they're saying and what they're interested in, what that could lead to for their future careers. So Christina Eubanks Turner was recently named, well, in 2008, she was named Project Next Fellow by the Mathematical Association of America. And they are naming her a Section Next Fellow. She's also gotten over $2 million in research grants from the National Science Foundation. She is amazing. She's also the Associate for Women in Mathematics who advocate for gender equality in the field. So long story short, stop erasure of Black women.
Yeah.
Promote people in the careers that they should be, promote everyone into what they need to be, and let's celebrate these Black mathematicians.
Can I also just say thank you so much for sharing this positive, beautiful story? Because I feel like, you know, when I'm at the gym and, you know, I'm trying not to watch any of this like bullshittery stuff, but like all they do is play like CNN and Fox News. So I can't help but get this imagery. And I notice how sensitive I am to it now that I'm depriving myself of it or removing it from myself, my diet. And but I'm like, where are these stories? Like, these are just like, where are these stories? Like, is there, and also maybe listeners, you can chime in if there are websites that, like, I want to create a website that's called The Good News.
Right.
And it is, and not saying like I'm going to just bury my head in the sand, but it's also, no, we got to balance out the other amazing, important, inspiring things that are happening, because that gives us hope and that gives us faith to push forward and doesn't scare us to go back into our caves.
Exactly. Thank you so much. I totally agree with that. And I'm like one for a tit and a tat. And I feel like we're missing out on both. Like, I turned negative stories, all of those stories that I brought up to you, with the exception of Paul Revere Williams, who's amazing and should be honored, have negative aspects to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were out there. I could have talked about them in the corner, but you know what? I wanted to put a twist to it. We can learn from the negativity that's going out there by adding a positive component to it. So thank you, James. That was
a whole lot of thinking. It's a thank play party.
Yeah, and thank you, listeners, for your Max Fund donations.
Oh, we still do it. Yeah, thank you ever and always.
Always still donating? And forever. Quizlet Corner.
Off the rails. All right. In this Quizlet Corner, as you know, this is like, there's no internet involved. This is like my Quaker. Who are the people? This is my Amish Quizlet Corner.
This is
off the grid. Off.
You came up with these while you were baking some pies, churning some butter.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that'll be a fun little quiz for her. It's all math.
No.
You know what? I left my phone. When I left my phone, I went golfing.
Oh.
When I was in Virginia, good, as you do, mm-hmm. I hit some balls around.
Okay.
And I told the kid at the greenery or where he's giving me my balls.
Sure.
And I said, oh, I don't have my phone on me. I'm off the grid. He had no idea. He's like a young millennial. He had no idea what he was talking about.
He didn't know about off the grid. He's just like, clueless. What? People know what brain off the grid would is. Not.
I think like he doesn't. Why would you do that? Brain would not compute.
He just couldn't handle it. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. One of these is not true.
Okay.
I went on a bike ride to a plantation in Virginia.
Oh.
And it was like a scene out of Get Out. One of these is not true.
But how, these are like your personal accounts.
Yeah, you just gotta know me.
Okay.
All right. That's true. I'm like, how would she not know the answer to this?
What?
Oh, yeah, you just gotta guess.
Okay. All right.
I am, because I am one degree of separation from Department of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, as I like to call her, Betty Devo.
Mm-hmm.
I know that her favorite food is a ham sandwich. Could be true. Could not be true.
This is the weirdest fucking question.
Raven Simone, her last name is actually A. Oh, this is.
No, man. Oh, wait, we are going into letters now. All right.
Oh, wait.
Aren't you supposed to tell me one and I have to say if it's false or not?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We'll circle back to that one. I got too excited. The latest scandal took things to a whole other level. You go, Shonda.
Okay.
And last one, Leah Remini went back to Scientology.
Well,
one of those is not true.
Clearly, it's Leah Remini did not go back to Scientology. She got a fucking show. They would not even let her in the vicinity.
I've always loved Leah Remini, and then I heard that she was a Scientologist, and I was like, uh-oh.
But I love
and then
her
she
again.
Came out, and I was like, I can fully love you, like, that much more.
Because now...
It's like, and when she came out, it was like, it makes sense. It's like, of course.
And not only is she not, like, not in that anymore and just living her life, she's like, her campaign
blowing
is her,
it
like,
up.
She's like, I'm gonna take it down. And I'm like, oh my
Taking
God.
Taking it down. She was on I've been listening to the RuPaul podcast. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts now that I have, like, no visual stuff.
It's nice.
Also, female comedians. It's fun to listen to them on, like, the, you know, their recordings. Mm. It's always fun.
Two dope queens.
Yes. So you got it right. Yay. The last episode of Scandal may, I'm not going to spoil it, but it may have jumped the shark. I'm glad it's coming on to its 100th episode. I'll ride or die it.
Yeah, somebody should have died. I'm not going to say who, but yes, somebody went through a lot of shit and should have died.
Thank you. We're on the same page here. It's like, here's my thing. I'm fine if you don't kill off characters, but don't have them go through hell and high, like right. ridiculous shit. Don't introduce it. One just have them go get a cup.
Literally one of those things, I would have died.
Like, many people, most people, that person. Unless we're introducing that all of a sudden everyone on Scandal is a superhero, then this is late in the plot to introduce that. I thought they were all monsters, but apparently they're all superheroes. So I'm a little surprised because Shauna was like, oh, I'm so excited about this shorter season. And it started off good, and then Shark jumped over it, possibly. But I'm going to see what you're going to do. And you know what? We're spoiled because this last season of How to Get Away with Murder was so damn good that it just was so damn
clearly
so damn good.
Shonda turned her eye towards The Catch because
oh, I mean, maybe that's where I should be watching my time, because
Catch is all right.
Yeah,
it's fluff. Okay, it's okay.
Well, and you know what? And also, I'm you know, I usually binge watch Grey's Anatomy during the summer, but I'm not binging anything because I'm taking a break. But at one point, I was like, I have nothing to watch, and it was so boring.
The Catch?
Usually, like, it's Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, okay.
Usually, it's so interesting.
Yeah, no.
But I saw commercials. They're boarding a plane. I know something bad is about to go down.
Yeah,
so.
Because in the commercial, it's like the plane's going down.
Don't tell me. Okay. Don't tell me. Oh, another plane crash? Oh, Lord.
That was a lot of shit.
And this is a commercial passenger jet. Okay.
You need to watch The Catch. Watch The Catch. See if you like it.
I am 1 degree of separation from Betsy DeVoe.
And she really does like ham sandwiches?
Oh, that one was the one that wasn't true. Oh, there were two. Well, apparently
okay,
Quizlet Corner just got fucked up.
This Quizlet has gone.
This was okay,
I
a
still
bonus
got
one
this
to save
Quizlet.
It. You did. Okay. You did. You still. I don't know that about her, actually. Could be. But I wanted to say I'm 1 degree of separation from Betsy DeVoe because my cousin's wife works for the education department.
Wow. I thought you weren't going to tell us where. Oh, the wife.
Oh,
not
but
where
that's,
your cousin
yeah,
works.
Not saying, not, that's, oh, that's different. That's the other one. But I am 1 degree of separation from some other, from the vice president and
interesting.
2 degrees from the actual president. So,
less exciting now that it's not Obama.
I know, right? He was like, do you want to go to the White House? I was like, no, not right now. I did go on, I went to a bike ride in Virginia and we ended up going to the George Mason House, which George Mason, like, helped write, like, he came from the Mason family.
Like, Mason jars?
I guess so. Okay. I don't know. The tour, I was side-eyeing this tour, because we rode a bike, and we're like, we're at the George Mason house. And everyone's like, go to the George Mason house. And then this little, like, college tour guide, she's giving us this tour.
Yeah.
And you can see all this land. And my mind is just thinking about, like, I wonder if they had slaves here.
No
I bet
shit.
They had slaves.
Yeah.
I bet there were slaves here. And she kept talking about how rich, like, 4 generations of just rich English, British, yada, yada. And then eventually she was like, and he helped write like the Bill of Rights because he was like, the Constitution needs the Bill of Rights. And he wrote it in a bar. He is the one that was like, right to bear arms. So I don't know. Side eyeing you. This guy.
That's
but
the thing.
And then she was like, oh, but then she was like saying, she was like, you know, raving. And it's like this huge museum. It's a museum
right.
now. You have to pay to go. And it's this huge thing. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, but just so we're all on the same page, like this was a plantation. And she was like, there was slaves and indentured servants. And it was like really awkward. And then she like mentioned something else. And then at the end, she's like, is there anything else you want to see? I was like, where are the slave quarters?
Yeah.
I want to see the slave
Good.
Quarters.
I'm glad you said
I wanna
that.
Because I want to see all of it.
I would want to see it too.
They destroyed it. They're not there.
Oh, motherfucker.
But I'm like, I was really, there was one point when I was standing in the house and I got chills because I was like, oh my God, I'm on a place where there were like slaves.
Right.
Like you can just feel that energy.
Yes.
And I think it's important to go to a slave plantation. I think it's important to see these parts of our history in the same way that like, again, Germans, they'll go to Auschwitz. Like, you know, that it's a part of history.
It is.
And let's not just have half of it.
Right.
Let's not just like glorify this George Mason house and without being like, this is a fucking plantation.
Right. That's the thing that like irritates me so much about, I guess, Southern culture. Even though, you know what, Southern has a rich, beautiful culture and I don't want to take away from it. But and this is not historic or, you know, a heartwarming story. I was watching Bravo Southern Charm and...
Okay.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, it's good. You should watch it. It's good, stupid. And so I'm watching
and
it.
And you're like, okay.
And just how casual they are about, oh, my family's plantation, oh, this blah, 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 this, like, plant, like, just rich. Whenever people talk about being rich Southern elites owning a plantation, it just calls to mind the death and sorrow and misery of lives of Black people.
And to me, it's like, I feel like if I had all that dirty, bloody money,
yeah,
I would be giving that back.
I would not be like drinking it away, Shep.
You should be giving your money back to, like, Black organizations specifically, putting that into, like, Black schools, getting your money to, like,
right,
those Black neighborhoods, because that's their money.
That's how you,
like,
fucking you got should... that money.
And so it's, like, totally, like, it's, like, acknowledging it. And then, you know, like, it's like we're only looking at the cute, fun side of things,
right,
in the
history. That's why I always feel weird. And I feel like if it was acknowledged, if people brought it up, then I would feel less weird, like less like there's a bunch of Black buddies under a rug swept somewhere.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Because that's what they did. They swept them under the rug. Mm-hmm. But we can, as Viola Davis said, exhume the bodies.
Exhume the bodies. And you
so
know what?
I'm going to.
Those.
Oh, yes.
I have relatives from Virginia. So you literally were hanging out with my ancestors on that plantation.
Well, now I feel weird. And but I want to go to a real one that's fucking just like, you know, very somber, very just like, let's look at this history and, like, you know, really treat it with the respect that it deserves. Let's look at it.
Yes.
So a bonus Quizlet, to because I fucked the last one up, but I'm going to.
Let's do it. Let's redo it.
Raven Simone's last name is actually pronounced Raven Salmon. Salmonia, Raven Simone, Raven Simonia, or it's actually just Raven Simone.
Raven Simonia.
Raven Simone, yay. It's like Beyonce because it's got the little accent mic. Yeah, so I was listening to the RuPaul drag show, the RuPaul podcast, and Raven Simone, we've been pronouncing her name wrong for 31 years.
So it's Raven Simone? Simone.
I guess, like, one of those things that's, like, if no one else acknowledges it, like, you know,
doesn't
like,
exist,
she just gave
if a tree
up.
Falls in
she
just, if nobody says
but she
Raven
just was,
Simone.
Like, you know, like, if everyone was just called you Anke for, like, and you're this, like, famous lady, and you, like, were just, like, gave up. You're like, all right, I am Anke.
I might, but no. Raven Simone needs to fucking fight. Here on Minority Corner, we will forever call her Raven Simone.
Oh, yeah. From now on, we are starting it here first, and maybe she'll come on the podcast now,
ooh,
too. Raven Simone,
we're looking
your invitation,
for you, Simone.
It is coming in the mail, girl. All right. Well, I'll call Quizlet Corner a draw because I fucked up the first one, but you still won it.
I persevered.
And you persevered. Sorry. All right.
It was good.
Well done.
Should we just wrap it up from here?
Oh, okay. I was going to press pause.
Let's
Aneke
just try
like,
something
I am
new.
Done.
Let's just try.
All right. Y'all, we are done. Aneke is like, why do we got to press pause just to come back and be like, well, goodbye, everybody.
I kind of feel like, you know, they deserve extra James and Aneke.
This is
less music
because, intro. Yes, less music. I mean, the music is good, y'all. Wonder Twins Activate.
Yes.
This is our Wonder Twins episode where it came into fruition. It makes me feel more empowered, too. Like, we are fucking doing it.
I feel fucking like a superhero if we are the fucking Wonder Twins.
And we can do fun things with, like, little graphics now. It just opened up.
Right?
Like, there's all kinds of, like, oh, just open up the doors. We got to make new banners, but okay.
I'm fucking, oh, yeah, we do. God damn it. Well, that's easy.
Well, if you would like to join the Minority Corner Wonder Twins banner-making group.
Help us out, village. Y'all.
After they're like, damn, I just gave y'all money. Now you need me to make your banners.
I just wrote up the script for you guys to perform.
Well, creation, you know, you're not looking at the internet. So what else are you doing?
It's
go
true.
And create some art. So, you know, for the village.
AKA a banner for us.
Make a, yeah. So you all, again, thank you so much for your support through the Max Fun Con. We like, I think they over like 24,000 new subscribers
I think over 24,000.
And upgraded members.
Yeah.
crazy. So thank you. Max FunCon is coming on soon.
Yes.
Listen to the adverts. They'll be in this, they're in this episode, and we're going to be there.
Yes.
East and West.
And then also, thank you again. I think somebody posted during all the Max Fun Drive hubbub, which was amazing, that they suggested Minority Corner at a Maximum Fun meetup. Thank you for promoting us, you guys.
Aww,
like, word of mouth is one of the best ways to find out a new podcast, and the fact that you guys are promoting us really just warms my heart.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com.
Corner with a K.
Yeah, it's very important because I don't know who.
I don't know.
I'm gonna email Minority Corner.
We're gonna email
them and be like, "Who are you?
What are you doing? Do you need this? Can we have this?
I don't want it. I like my K. You can have that C. That is boring. It is corny.
It is.
Okay, and then we're on the Facebook, but you're taking a break, so we're not even gonna. You know what? We're not gonna mention any social media.
Just don't,
because you're not.
But if you want to suggest to a friend that we are on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K.
Yes, and through word of mouth, and also thank you for the write ups on iTunes. It's been blowing up.
Oh, we
it's
have.
Been great. Thank you.
I haven't even looked. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all. So that's it. Let's get out of here, Wonder Twin.
Wonder Twins out.
Oh, I was going to say activate. We'll work
okay.
on that.
I like that.
Wonder Twins out.
Activate.
And activate.
No. Bye, everybody.
'Everybody, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And we host the first podcast ever made, My Brother, and Me.
Every Monday, we put out the first ever advice comedy podcast ever.
They found our podcast on Dead Sea Scrolls.
We're the Hammurabi Code of podcasts, and we're ready to entertain you with jokes that we invented, the first jokes.
So join us every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
You'll never crack our code, Dan Brown. Just try me.
It's history in the making.
And in the faking. And it's all yours for the taking.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max FunCon has been a huge inspiration in my life.
Now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.